a man's idea to lift your hands. That's not man's idea at all. That's God's requirements for those that believe Him, trust Him, honor Him. And we will deal with that tonight and tonight's Serious Servants Institute of the first part of worship, speaking, our voice. Man, it's tremendous. I've already seen it. Praise God. I've already received from it. I've already been challenged by it. I've already been reminded by it. You know, and the Bible admonishes us, God's Word admonishes us, not to neglect our salvation, not to forget what we've been taught, what we have learned. Amen. And that's what Serious Servants Institute is all about. We are just really going over the foundations of Christianity from God's perspective, not man's perspective. Man has gotten a perspective on Christianity, and, well, I'll not go into it anyway. It's not a right one. That's why we've got to get back to God's way of worship. Amen. It affects spirit, soul, and body. He's created us, spirit, soul, and body. You and I are tempted in our spirit, soul, and body. Everything to do with our life deals with our spirit, soul, and body. And according to what Jesus said, with our spirit, soul, and body, we're to love God. That's the first commandment, greatest commandment. All aspects of my life to be presented as a living sacrifice to our God. Why? Well, that's what I'm fixing to preach on this morning. Because He's the righteous judge. If anybody knows what's right, it's God. And if I want to know what's right, all I have to do is ask of God. What we're running into in these hours we're living in, so close and near to the coming of the Lord, a lot of folks don't want to know what God has to say about it. They just want to serve God their own way. They want to do what's right in their own eyes. That's not anything new, church. You'll find that all the way back in the Old Testament with the children of Israel. You'll find that God brought them out of the land of Egypt with a mighty hand. Wow. Do you realize you're sitting here this morning, saved, washed in the blood of Jesus Christ by the mighty hand of God, not of works, lest you and I should boast, but it's by the grace of Almighty God that He sent His Son to die in my place, that I have salvation. Hallelujah. That I have forgiveness of sins, and that I have a new life, praise God, in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And when that trumpet sounds, I'm going to get a new body, Brother Lee. Hallelujah. I'm going to have everything I'm going to need to worship an Almighty God the way He wants to be worshiped. He's going to provide it. Sometimes our bodies get a little weary. They do. They're fragile. They are. I mean, you know, when we're young, I don't know why I'm sharing all this, but when we're young, we think we're invincible. You're looking at what? Went to the chiropractor almost a year ago. Took an x-ray of my back. He just kind of went, wow. He said, for whatever reason, your body has adjusted and your very lower part of your vertebrae are already fused together. I said, oh, really? He said, yeah, and we're going to try to free up all the other ones that are stuck. I said, well, I kind of probably realize how they got that way. You know, when you only weigh 165, 170 pounds, and you kind of enjoyed pushing around 250-pound people on a football field, your back has to adjust a little bit. Oh, yeah. And then when you worked on a farm and your dad didn't get the baler set right, you're hauling alfalfa square bales that weigh 100, 120 pounds apiece, and you're loading 120 at a time, and you're bucking them up into a hay barn, your back has to adjust a little bit. And then when you're really foolish and you want to do things that you shouldn't be doing, and somebody tells you, oh, you can't pick that up, and you go ahead and pick it up. I said, well, Doc, I really know why my back's fused together, because it adjusted to everything I put it through. But thank you for your help, because you're adjusting it now. I've got more movement than I had. Praise God. Glory. But you see, it's the reality of the goodness of God. It's not by my works. It's by His grace that He saved me. Hallelujah. It's not because I was stubborn enough. It wasn't because I had tenacity enough. It wasn't because I was striving to be right. Actually, I wasn't striving to be right at all. I didn't think I needed any more of God. Because grace came on the scene, He opened my blinded eyes. Why? Because He's not willing that any should perish. He's wanting all to come to the knowledge, the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not just the knowledge of what He did, but the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ and letting Him do it inside of us. Hallelujah. That's the grace of our God. Why? Because He's a righteous judge. He's going to judge all disobedience. He's going to judge all sin. And He's going to judge it righteously, because He's given us a book, the Bible, God's Word. Don't fall out with me, King James Version. It is the only one that lines up with all the miraculous hand of God upon it. It is. That's why we cling to it, cleave to it. Amen. That's why I've got a dictionary if I don't understand a word. That's why I've got a Strong's Concordance if I don't understand the meaning. And then that's why I have the baptism in the Holy Ghost. Amen. And an altar to pray at. Amen. Because ask and ye shall receive, seek and ye shall find, knock, the door shall be opened. That's just God's word I'm quoting to you. Hallelujah. And so I want to start out here this morning on the righteous judge. Amen. Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse number 4. Our first scripture this morning. You can stand with us if you would like. Amen. Glory to God. Just kind of get stretched a little bit. Get ready, hallelujah, for the wonderful word of God coming our way. Deuteronomy 32 and 4, He is the rock. His work is perfect. For all His ways are judgment, a God of truth and without iniquity. Just and right is He. Praise God. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we praise Your mighty name. You are great, O God. Hallelujah. And You are gracious and merciful unto us. And we thank You for Your great plan of salvation. Lord God, give us an understanding here this morning of who You are, how much You love us, but how You are the righteous judge. And You will not overlook sin. And You will not overlook disobedience in our lives. But judgment will fall where judgment will fall. O God, that's why we want to move with Your grace and we want to move with Your mercy while it is today. Thank You, Lord, for Your word. Thank You for Your people. Thank You for Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. And in His mighty name, we pray and rejoice. Hallelujah. You can be seated again this morning. He's the rock. He's the one that's stable. How many realize with me here this morning that this world is unstable? How many realize sometimes our lives are unstable? Sometimes our minds become unstable. You know, and that's why we want God's Word in our lives and on our minds and coming towards us in a continual way. Hallelujah. And that's why we preach. That's why we teach. I mean, that's why we have Serious Servants Institute. That's why we have Discipleship Night. Hallelujah. Because it is the Word of God. It's the truth that is going to set men free. Hallelujah. It's God's Word, God's ways, God's righteousness. Amen. Realizing that He's the righteous judge, which means He has the final say of what goes on in my life. Why? Because I'm redeemed. Oh my, I was thinking about that, and this is kind of the reality that I come to from time to time. How many in here, just by show of hands, and this, if you don't know, that's fine. How many know what it means and what the definition of redeemed is? Just by an uplifted hand. Because sometimes I don't think people understand what redemption is. Because we've been raised in a humanistic society. And this humanistic society we live in has promoted that everybody owes me something. And thus, you can't really have a full understanding of redemption when you think everybody owes you something. Because redemption is nobody owes me anything, and I am the one that is unworthy of anything that's done for me. And redemption is, though I was unworthy, though I was living in sin, though I was disobedient, though I was full of pride and arrogant towards God and defying God and rejecting God and not listening to God, He sent His Son to die for me anyway, so that I could be redeemed from that bondage of lifestyle. It's a bondage. It's a yoke. We got to understand, sin may be pleasurable for a moment, but there's a righteous judge who has a just balance. There's a scripture there in the book of Daniel. It's not in my notes this morning, but it talks about when God came down and judged a king because he was defiling the vessels that they had stole from the temple of God. He was boasting and bragging and defying God, and God sent a hand right on the wall. You are weighed in the balances and found wanting. In other words, you're not doing right, you're not living right, and you're defying me, and that king died that night. Ananias and Sapphira in the New Testament lied to the Holy Ghost, and they were weighed in the righteous judge's balances, and they lost their lives that day. He's the righteous judge. He can do what He wants to do with what He has created. But His desire is to save His creation. His desire is to cleanse His creation from sin. His desire is put newness of life in His creation. Because He's the righteous judge, He knows that if they will not receive His plan of salvation, then He will have to judge them righteously at the end. And so we see then in 1 Peter 2:23, who when he was reviled, speaking of Jesus Christ, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. Jesus Christ himself showed you and I, from God's scripture, God's word, total submission to the will of the Father. Total. He willingly gave his life for the sins of the world. He committed himself. Catch that word. Committed himself. What's that mean? That means he gave spirit, soul, and body to God the Father, to do with as he willed. Carrying that burden of sin, there was such love, compassion, desire in his heart. He had already prayed, "Not my will, but thy will be done." He showed that compassion on the cross by speaking the words, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." When that thief cried out, he said, "Today you will be with me in paradise." But when he said, "It is finished," that was the final commitment to the righteous judge. Because he had fulfilled all of the will of God in his life up to death. And when he said, "It is finished," the righteous judge accepted the sacrifice of Jesus Christ for the sins of the world. And the temple was rent from the top to the bottom. Sick. Woo! Showing the world, hallelujah, that this was the Son of God, this was the Lamb of God, this was the Savior of the world. And the righteous judge said, "It is finished." Hallelujah. It is done. Hallelujah. Salvation now has come to all the world. And whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord, they shall be saved. Why would men want to call on the name of the Lord? Because the Holy Ghost begins to make sin exceedingly sinful. And then that sin starts becoming a burden, a misery. Oh, oh my. And life then becomes not worth living. What is that? That is the burden of sin being pushed down even harder by the lies of the devil. And that's why the gospel is good news. Because Jesus Christ can lift you up out of that sin. He can lift you up and remove that burden. Hallelujah. And he can bring newness of life. And it finds a peace with God, a power with God, a love of God, a newness of life. Hallelujah. And you realize for the first time in your life that God is real beyond all measure. And you surrender yourself wholly unto him, to follow him, to love him, to worship him, to serve him, to honor him. Because he just lifted the very thing that was driving you to the point of death, and that would have ultimately put you in the lake of fire when the righteous judge would begin to judge this world. Acts 10:42, "And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of quick and dead. To him give all the prophets witness." That means the Old Testament prophets. "And through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins." Hallelujah. Jesus Christ now has been given all power in heaven and in earth. And Jesus Christ is now the judge of the quick and the dead. Amen. That means you and anyone that hasn't believed in him. He is now that righteous judge for the heavenly Father. Acts 17:30. "And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men in that he hath raised him from the dead." I believe in the resurrection. Hallelujah. And that was God's signature upon Jesus Christ, that he was now becoming the righteous judge of this world. And God raised him from the dead. Hallelujah. Was seen of over 5 500 men and women at one time, and the apostles began to preach, got filled with the Holy Ghost. 3,000 was added to the church that day, hallelujah, and they all began to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and proclaim the newness of life and the power of life that is through this man, Jesus Christ, and all can be saved if they will just believe. Amen. And surrender and ask. You see, sometimes that's not in our vocabulary. I will be honest with you. Surrender was never in my entire life in my vocabulary. Not at all. I made mention of this one time before. Now, most everybody in here has seen Jake Toddy, Josh Toddy. They're big old boys. They've been big old boys ever since they were teenagers. They're a little bit bigger now because they got their man bodies now. But they were big old boys. And they were both teenagers. I was probably, I'm trying to think, I was probably in my late 40s. And those two boys thought it was about time that they could take me. They did. And they gave it their best. But they underestimated the fact that I don't surrender. I had a hold of one of them in a headlock. I had the hood of the coat of the other one and had wrapped it so many times they could not move. And we were all laying on the ground, and I was asking them, have you had enough? Because I don't surrender. I don't give up. Well, you see, that's why it was hard for me to get saved. The whole time God was dealing with me. Oh, I mean, I'd go to church. I'd love the singing. I'd love the worship. Oh, the preaching was okay. But what I couldn't stand was that still small voice down inside of me, pulling on me, showing me that something was missing in my life. Because I couldn't admit that something was missing. After all, I was raised in church all my life. After all, I was a good old boy. You know, I treated people right if they treated me right. I'd help anybody that come along the way. Somebody was off on the side of the road with a flat tire, I just kind of got to stop and help them fix it. I mean, you know, I was good. Everybody around me thought highly of me. Because when I was around people, I made sure I looked good. Now, there's some folks who didn't like me because I didn't like them either. And so they stayed away from me because they knew I didn't like them. But in my eyes, I was good because, you know, it was because of them. Not me. And then I find myself in a little Pentecostal church. Never really heard about Pentecost, never heard about the rapture, never heard about the baptism of the Holy Ghost, never really even heard about a true gospel message. And here I'm sitting right in the middle of it. All because my wife drugged me there. Oh, gotta keep the missus happy, you know. And the whole time, from the moment I stepped in the door, the very first day I stepped inside that church, inside me, I never said it to anybody, talked to anybody, nothing about it, but inside my heart, my soul, my mind, I knew God was in that house. I knew God was there. And I fought, and I fought, and I fought that righteous judge. What was he doing? He was judging me. Oh, yeah, you hear him say it all the time. Hey, don't judge me. Hey, God's going to judge you. I'm not going to judge you. I'm going to preach the good news to you. But there's one, and I'm getting to it here in a minute, there's one that's going to judge us. And Jesus said, it's the words that I have spoken unto you. And if you've heard the gospel message, then it's judging you if you have not responded to it. It is your judge. It is your condemner. Jesus said, I didn't come to condemn the world. I come to save the world. But there's one that's going to judge you. It's the words that I have spoken. And when you fall underneath the gospel message, and you fall and are sitting in the presence of a holy God, you're either happy or you're not. Praise God. And if you are submitting, committing, surrendering, giving all, you are one happy individual. But if you are trying to hold back on God, trying to convince God you're okay, and he's saying, no, you're not. Yes, I am. No, you're not. Yes, I mean, the battle's on. What makes you think you're okay? Well, I do this, and I do this, and I do that. Wrong! That doesn't make anybody okay. What makes you okay? What makes me okay? Lord, I surrender all my life to you. And God, cleanse me of my sin. And Lord, I am unrighteous, but you're the righteous judge. And I need you fully in my life to control it. Lead me, guide me, take it all, God. That's what makes me right. Woo, hallelujah. But just doing something good doesn't make anybody right. It's surrendering to Jesus Christ. That's what makes everybody right. Hallelujah. Because when you surrender, the blood is automatically applied. Woo! Have you never read in the scripture, God giveth grace to the humble, but resisteth the proud? In other words, you're not going to get it until you humble. 2 Corinthians 5 and 10, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Romans 14, 12, so then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. So, most important thing in my life and your life is to make sure we are listening to God. And we are listening to the righteous judge. Now, I don't know how many's ever had an opportunity to stand before a judge. I personally have never had to stand before a judge. I always paid my traffic tickets immediately because I knew I was speeding and did wrong. I knew I rolled right through that stop sign and there was no reason to argue with it. One officer told me, said, well, you're not considered stopped unless you're sitting there for 3 seconds. So from that point forward, I tried to stay at a stop sign 3 seconds. Can't say I always get it done. Depends on where my mind's at. Sometimes I just blow right through them because my mind was not on that stop sign at all. Just did it the other night. I think down in Denton, Texas, I blowed right through one. Oh, that was a stop sign, wasn't it? Yeah, okay. Well, you got to pay attention where you're at. I'm going to give an account of myself to the righteous judge, and he's got a book that he's going to open that's going to tell it exactly how it is, not the story I give to try to make myself look not guilty. Well, yeah, but you don't know, Lord, what they did. He says, I know exactly what they did, and this is what I was asking you to do. Oh, how many times have we thrown that out there? Well, you don't know what they did. God knows exactly what they did, and he's asking you to do what he's asked you to do. There's no justification to be unmerciful. There's no justification to be unforgiving. There's no justification to be uncompassionate. There's none. Why? Well, because the righteous judge, that's how he operates. Even on the face of the earth, he operated that way. Amen. So we got to realize we're going to give an account of ourselves to the righteous judge. John 12:46, I am come a light into the world, and whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. And if any man hear my words and believe not, here it is, I judge him not, for I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. But it doesn't stop there. Verse 48. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. See, Jesus is not worried about judgment right now. He's worried about salvation. But he wants you to understand, if you reject him, you're going to be judged. Right now, he just wants to bring you into salvation. He wants to keep you and I in salvation. You do understand you got to stay in salvation, right? You can walk right out of it just like you came into it. It's called backsliding. Israel did it all the time. It's found in the New Testament, too. Some believe that you can never lose your salvation. I'm sorry. You can go to the book of Revelation, and Jesus said, unless you repent, I'm going to blot your name out of the book. He's the righteous judge. Now, I can't judge you whether you're going to make it or not, but I can preach God's word to you where you can make sure you've made it all right. Because I'm not going to judge you either. I want everybody to be saved. I want everybody to have what I got. Hallelujah. I mean, I'm washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm baptized in the Holy Ghost of God. I am striving, hallelujah, pressing towards that prize, that high calling of God. I mean, I'm fighting the devil just like you're fighting the devil. We're both human beings on the face of this earth. And until we make it to heaven, we're in a warfare. Hallelujah. Sometimes I win greatly. Sometimes I lose greatly. But I never stay in a loser's position. That is one thing about not wanting to surrender that is really profitable in the kingdom of God now when it becomes a righteous thing. Ooh, hallelujah. I'm not giving up. I'm not turning back. I'm going forward if it kills me. Trust me, it will. Because I'm going to have to die out to me sometimes just to get the victory. Because really that's the only thing that keeps me from any victories God's already provided is me and my lack of surrender. It's a hard thing sometimes because folks want to just keep hanging on to things. But it's because they don't realize and their faith is not quite strong enough to realize when you will let go of that thing, hallelujah to the Lamb, you'll step into the brightness of day like you've never seen before. We hang on to it thinking, oh, we can never get rid of it. It'll never leave us. It'll never get any better. Oh, let go of that thing, brother. Let go of that thing, sister. Hallelujah. And the brightness of day will come, shine in your heart, and give you newness of life because you gave it to God as a sacrifice unto him, and you quit hanging on to it. Some have received that. Some understand that. Some are looking like, I didn't know you could even hang on to things. Yeah, you can. Amen. And you got to let go of them. You got to give them to the righteous judge. Let him give us understanding. God's word is going to judge us in the last days. Revelation 20:12. Oh, I've got to move on here. You got to realize I just come from empowerment experience. Ministers meeting, every message, every service was preaching at me. You know, nobody else got anything, but I sure did. Praise God. You know, I mean, it was me. Why are they always preaching at me? You know, you ever think that in Calvary Lighthouse Church? Why is Brother Pepper always preaching at me? Why is he always preaching at me? Well, I just come from a meeting, had several services, and they were always preaching at me. They made it a point. Pastors, we're preaching to you. Oh, man. There wasn't no way I could get rid. Couldn't shovel it over. There's just another pastor behind me. Man. Revelation 20:12. And I saw the dead, small and great. See, it doesn't even make any difference where you think you stand, where you come from, how low you may be, so to speak. Everybody's going to stand before God. And the books were opened. Notice it's plural. Books. And another book was opened. That's singular. Which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. Now, you may not believe it, but I do. And it's because Jesus said, the word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. Whether we want to admit it, believe it or not, God's got a Bible in heaven. Whether you want to believe it or not, and I believe this thoroughly, it's just like the King James Version. It's just like the original Hebrew. It's just like the original Greek. No paraphrasing, just what was recorded. You got to understand, everything's recorded in heaven. Our Bible didn't come from men. It's what's been recorded in heaven. This is the book that he's going to open when you stand before him. And then he's going to open your book. And from your book, he's going to show you in his book your sin, your disobedience, your rebellion, your rejection, my sin, my rejection, my disobedience. But praise God, back when I was 23 years old, hallelujah, my book changed. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. And my name was written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And I don't have to stand on the grounds of Doug Pepper from Chelsea, Oklahoma. That book has been sealed. And the new book is the Book of Life, hallelujah, where my name has been written down. And then I am striving to keep it there. Hallelujah. Praise be to our God. And so we see the books are opened. It's going to be God's word versus my book. But notice, if my name is not found in the book of life, then I'm cast in the lake of fire. But that lets me know that if my name is in the book of life, I have eternal life with him. Hallelujah to the Lamb. You see, what I'm after here this morning is to persuade us, convince us, give us an understanding. We're going to be far better off if we'll surrender to the righteous judge right now than be a gambler. Yeah, there's a lot of folks that are gamblers. Yeah, they like that challenge. Well, you know, I will just kind of pretend, and I will kind of act like, you know, but then when I think Jesus is going to return, then I'll get serious. I'm sorry, but you won't. If you can't get serious right now, you won't get serious then. That's just how that is. That's why God says today is the day of salvation. If I'm dealing with you, if I'm talking to you, if I'm drawing on your heart, if I'm pulling on your soul, if I'm convincing of your sin, right now is the time I want you to deal with it. That's God's word. That's God. That's what God says to us. He doesn't want us to keep pushing it off because he's not willing that any should perish, because you don't know when your time is up. You don't. Not at all. But if you like being a gambler, you like to think your life's in your own control. I'm sorry, but if you think you're in control of your own life, the devil's got you hook, line, and sinker. And you're headed for the pits of hell. The only way you're going to make heaven is if Jesus Christ is in control of your life. That is the only way. He's the righteous judge. Man, the books are going to be open. He ain't going to judge us out of something we haven't had access to. You may say, well, there may be people somewhere. Yeah, but you're assuming there's people somewhere. We're not worried about people somewhere. We're worried about people right here, right now in this house. Because it's ready, available. It's available. Woo! James 2:13. For he shall have judgment without mercy that has showed no mercy. And mercy rejoiceth against judgment. Hallelujah. How great is our God. How great is our... Oh, glory. There's a reason why I lift my hands all the time. Hallelujah. I've been studying worship, and I know exactly what God wants. Hallelujah. Oh, glory. Hallelujah. There's so many significances just in that uplifted hand right there towards an almighty God. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to the King. Amen. Why? Because mercy rejoiceth against judgment. And I give him praise. Hallelujah. The fruit of my lips. I give him praise for that mercy. Praise for that grace. Because I know without grace and without mercy, hallelujah, then I will not have hope. Because my hope is in him. And sometimes I need mercy and grace to remind me of that. Yeah, as human beings, sometimes we get to thinking. We get to pat ourselves on the back. Oh, man, you are really doing good. Yeah. I kind of learned this little thing over the years. If someone comes up and starts boasting and bragging about how good they're doing, they ain't doing good at all. They're just trying to convince themselves they are and convince you they are. They ain't doing good at all. So, you come up, Brother Pepper, and start telling him how good you're doing, I'm just going to kind of take you down to the altar. Let's pray. Because you're not. That's just some of the pastoral wisdom over, you know, years and years and years of dealing with teenagers in the house, dealing with teenagers in the church. Yeah. You didn't know how many doctorate degrees I have in dealing with people. It's all come from the School of Hard Knocks, not any university or anything like that. But my, I have dealt. I'd really hate to put a pencil to it, Brother Jason, of how many people I've actually had to work with and deal with in 39 years of Christianity. The biggest one, the worst one I've ever had to deal with was me. When I didn't deal with somebody else right, I had to deal with me, because God dealt with me. And I'm thankful for his mercy. I'm thankful for his grace. Now, in Ezekiel 18, verse number 4, and I'm real close to closing. Real close. 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 You've heard that little terminology, close, but yet far away. Ezekiel 18, 4, behold, all souls are mine. As the soul of the Father, so also the soul of the Son is mine. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. That was a statement God was telling the children of Israel, because they had this misconception. Well, if the Father sinned, then the Son was going to be judged for his sin. And then if the Son was sinning, then the Father's going to be judged for his sin. And God was rectifying them and helping them understand, no, it's the soul that sinneth, it shall die. You can't blame anybody else for your sin. You are the only one accountable for your sin. That doesn't mean there may have been situations, circumstances that made you go that way. But it really doesn't make any difference what made you go that way when God says you can come out of that way. And I'll give you a brand new life, and you'll be my sons and daughters, and I'll be your father. Woo, hallelujah. So you can't blame the past for rejection now. Because God says, I can wipe away the past and give you brand new life. Woo. But some folks, there it is, some folks want to hang on to the past as an excuse for their sin. And it doesn't work that way, because the soul that sinneth, it shall die. So that'd be terrible, terrible thing to go to the lake of fire because of somebody else's actions. And you wouldn't choose the right action for yourself. So really, you can't blame somebody else's actions, because it's your actions that will be judged. He's the righteous judge. He knows all about circumstances, situations, but he also knows all about newness of life. The past, those past sins, that past life can be thrown into the sea of forgetfulness. And you start a brand new life. There's an old song we sing, I just started living. got me a brand new life. Hallelujah. Glory. Changed my direction. Washed away all my strife, my turmoil, my grudges, my unforgiveness, my unmercifulness. Woo, all the strife's gone now. Just started living. Got a holy infilling. Glory. Baptism in the Holy Ghost. To take that new man and empower him for it to become the way of life now. Praise our God. Romans 6:23, because I read you Ezekiel 18:4. That's in the Old Testament. A lot of folks want to get hung up in the Old Testament. So, well, we're in the New Testament. The Old Testament's not for us today. Well, you tell God that when you stand before him, because he's going to open the book. From Genesis to Revelation, he's going to open the book. Did you realize that the New Testament would have never happened had the Old Testament not said, this is the way it's going to happen? That's why the Old Testament's still good for us today. It's got examples in there of people that didn't do right and they got judged for it. Got examples of the people in there that did right, served God, honored God, and he'd bless them all over the place. The Old Testament has let us know if we'll serve God, God will bless us. But if we rebel against God, reject God, he can't do anything but judge us because we've already destined for judgment. For the wages of sin, Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. In other words, you're going to receive compensation. Recompense for sin, the wages of sin. In other words, you know, you heard that, read that. Surely you reap what you sow. You know, the Bible also makes a statement, if you sow to the wind, you'll reap a whirlwind. It's not going to be good. The wages of sin is death. But the gift. So this kind of gives us insight to trying to justify myself by works is death. Because works and wages in that connotation are linked together. Because if I just try myself, it's nothing but filthy rags, and I will receive death. But the gift, a gift is freely given. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So it's given us, and that conjunction there, that means things are changing now. If we remain in sin, death, the righteous judge will proclaim it. But if we'll receive that gift of salvation, we'll have eternal life through Jesus Christ. You see, that's it. We just have to receive it. We've got to surrender to it. We've got to give ourselves wholly to Jesus. And we'll receive that gift. Amen. A lot of folks want the blessings of God, but they don't want the surrender to God. There's a whole movement out there that want to claim things from God so they can be rich and have plunders and look like they're servants of God, and they have no desire of surrender to God at all. They're just after the riches of this world, and they're trying to use Christianity to get it done. And sad to say, some of them have. And so, closing with Philippians chapter 2 and verses 9 through 13. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, given him a name which is above every name. We just sung about it. Name above all names. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. Of things in heaven, things in earth, things under the earth. Nothing's left out. And every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Everybody is going to bow. Everybody's going to exalt who he is. What the Holy Ghost is doing this very hour all across this world is suggesting and encouraging men and women everywhere to bow now. To bow now. To humble that heart now. To confess Him as Lord and Savior. And He deserves my worship. He deserves my service. He deserves my life. Because He gave His for mine. And when I surrender to Him, redemption takes place. My name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. My sins, my past sins, are all washed away. Hallelujah. Glory. There's a new name written down in glory. A song we've sung multitudes of times. And it's mine. Oh, yes, it's mine. Hallelujah. Why? Because I chose Christ. And He wrote it there. Hallelujah. I've confessed Him as Lord to the glory of the Father. Verse number 12. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. That's not talking about creating your own way to get to heaven. That's talking about completing now what God has done in you. That's what that word, when you go back to that Greek, that's what it's talking about. Bring a fullness to now what God has done in your life. Follow on to know the Lord. Follow on to walk in the righteousness of God. Follow on. Work out your salvation. It says with fear and trembling. What a humility before God. Hallelujah. Humility before God's word. Honoring God. Hallelujah. And that's completing everything that God begins to work, because that's the next scripture. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do His good pleasure. Hallelujah. This lets us know once we've been redeemed, once our name's been written down in the Lamb's Book of Life, once we have a new creature created after Christ Jesus, we can be baptized in the Holy Ghost of God, and then we can begin to walk with God, learn of God, and become compliant to the word of an almighty God, because that's what God wants to do in our lives. Because we are now His children. And He doesn't want to withhold any good thing from His children. But you got to understand, all the good things of God are righteousness. Not the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, or the pride of life. Get an understanding. Get born again by the Spirit of God and realize good things mean righteousness. Hallelujah. Holiness. Good things come from above. Hallelujah. Not from below. You see, when the good things come from above, we have such a heart of thanksgiving, even the things below become good. Even if they're trials, even if they're hard times, they become good. Count it all joy. You see, we look at that a lot of times, and our carnal mind says, oh, my, it's never joy. Listen to what the spiritual man says. Oh, yeah, take that, old man. Woo, take that flesh, because all the good things are for the strengthening and the encouraging of the spiritual man, the new man, to make him strong. Hallelujah. Glory. Amen. Stand with me if you would. The righteous judge. His balances are just. And that's where we will be weighed in the balances according to God's word. Hallelujah. Walk in the light as He's in the light. And the blood of Jesus Christ will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. See, there's a stipulation there in there. Yeah, work out. There's a stipulation there. Remember what I said? I think it was midweek service, talking about, you know, the saying is there's a highway to hell, but then it's a stairway to heaven. Well, anybody can go to hell, all they got to do is just go downhill fast, and they'll wind up there. But it's a stairway to heaven, That means I got to keep climbing. 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 See, that's the working out your salvation. Another rung on the ladder. We've called it that. What is that? That's coming to the light of God's word in my life and changing my life accordingly. I'm stepping up. Ooh, I'm stepping up higher. Hallelujah. You know, when I got saved, now that I know what I know, I don't want to spend all my Christian life standing on the bottom of the stairs. There's a lot of people that they want to be sad. Well, I'm saved. Woo. Don't you want to go up? I mean, don't you want to go up higher? I mean, because the higher you go, the more of God you begin to reveal. He reveals himself to you. And the more of God you start getting in your soul, and you just want to go up another one. Well, praise God. But if you're so afraid, I don't. And you're trying to stand on that bottom stair. I'm not saying you're not saved this morning. You might be saved, washed in the blood. Your name's written down. But how many stairs have you climbed in your Christian life? How much higher have you gone in your relationship with God? Because that's what he wants to do. This is why the house of God is so important. So important to the child of God. Oh, help me, Jesus. I said I was closing. The house of God is where you climb stairs. You can read your Bible at home. You can get filled with the Holy Ghost at home. I did. Got saved at an old-fashioned altar prayer. Got baptized in the Holy Ghost at home. Read my Bible at home. But all my growth come when I was in the house of God. Because then it took what I read at home and illuminated it. Brought it alive. Quickened it in me. At that old-fashioned altar prayer in the presence of a holy God. I don't know about you, but I've been saved for going on 39 years, and I have found that my relationship with God at home is not near as powerful as it is in the house of God. Be honest, be truthful. You get home, you get slothful, you get lazy. Don't read your Bible, don't really pray like you ought to. You do pray on Tuesday nights, but you really don't press that hard at home, do you? Just be honest. Because I'll be honest with you, I don't press that hard at home either. When I step into the house of God and I realize God's in this place, I press harder. Because I know that when I get at home, it's not going to be as easy. Woo! Because I have to press myself at home to enter into the presence of God. And I just have to step into it here. Don't tell me you don't need the house of God. You need the house of God more than you need anything else in your life, because that's where God has chosen to manifest his power, manifest his presence, and drive it all home. Did you catch that? And drive it all home. Because your Christian life and your Christian walk and your Christian relationship is revealed at home, not in the house of God. You've heard the terminology grounds level at Calvary, because it is. Well, we're Calvary Lighthouse Church, and grounds level at Calvary Lighthouse Church. We're all in need. We all need help. We all need strength. We all need a closer walk. We all need help from heaven. Hallelujah. Don't ever think Brother Pepper doesn't need help from heaven. He needs great help from heaven. Oh, I need great help from heaven, church. You don't have a clue how much help I need from heaven. I need help from heaven. And when I come to the house of God, I always get it. Hallelujah. I always get refreshed. I always get revived. I always get renewed. And you can say, well, it's just because you're the pastor. No, it's because I'm a child of God. Hallelujah. And that's what he wants to do for his children. Hallelujah. So if you're here this morning and you need help, I've just revealed to you that we all need help. You're here this morning and you need help. These altars are open. What is that? That is an opportunity to rise up in faith, step up around this altar area, and begin to ask God for the help you need. That's how faith is exercised. Hallelujah. Because He's the righteous judge. And He loves us with an everlasting love. And He judges us right now with grace, with mercy, with kindness. And He gently speaks to our hearts, pulls on our souls, pulls on our minds, to let us know, I'm here, and I'm here to help. Hallelujah. I'm here to reveal. I'm here to show. I'm here to answer your questions. Praise God. Praise God.